Christian love is always to be cleansed of self. To the degree that there is an element of selfishness in our lives, to that degree we are exuding a hypocritical love.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
I would invite you to turn with me to the book of Romans in the 12th chapter. And I want to lift out of the 12th chapter five or six verses that are very practical. Romans 12, verses 9 to 13. For Paul says there, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." Then he says, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality." Now that whole passage, all the way down through the end of that chapter, is a very practical section of Scripture. But I want to just to focus our attention on the verses that I've read there for a few moments. This is a section of Scripture that we might entitle Applied Christianity, the practical outworking of the Christian faith in our daily living. When you and I took that very simple and yet very profound step of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and became Christians, God performed a stupendous miracle in each of our lives. The moment we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, He gave to us a new life. In that moment, we were born again. We became members of God's kingdom, so we were citizens, and we became members of God's family, so we were children within the family. In the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, Paul sort of unfolds for us our rich doctrinal and theological heritage, which explains that conversion experience. Romans 1 to 11 is a tremendous section, giving to us a rich doctrinal and theological heritage, and it explains to us the whys, so to speak, and the hows of our own personal conversion and of Christian conversion. In Romans 1 to 11, in that great passage, Paul reminds us of our sin, chapters 1 to 3. And he confirms that all varieties of individuals are sinners. And he comes to a universal conclusion. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He reminds us of our sin. Then he explains to us our salvation and our sanctification, chapters 4 to 8. And then he probes in chapters 9 to 11 the scope of God's great dealing with humanity, in particular his purposes for the church and his purposes for Israel. Romans, the 9th to the 11th chapter. But then he comes to this 12th chapter and the chapters that follow it, all the way up to the 16th chapter. He comes to what we might call the practical application of our Christian faith. And I want to lift out this little section right out of that, Romans 12, verses 9 to 13. It's a very practical application of our Christian faith. And in so doing, he sort of shifts gears. Paul, in Romans, passes from dogma or doctrine, it would be chapters 1 to 11, to duty, in chapters 12 to 16, from our position in Christ to our practice on a daily basis. Chapters 1 to 11 tell us how to become a Christian. Chapters 12 to 16 tell us how to be a Christian. And those are two distinctly different things. We become a Christian in a moment of vivid conviction when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And that's a wonderful thing. Thank God for it. If you become a Christian, it's one of the most wonderful things that's ever happened. It is the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to you. Now God expects that we will be a Christian. Having become a Christian, God expects that we will be, on a practical level, a Christian. And He wants to help us to understand practically how to do that. And that's what Romans 12 to 16 is all about. What would it mean to our local church if we conscientiously applied the principles of biblical Christianity? It seems to me that Paul says it will mean two things to us. In Romans 12, verses 9 to 13, this is only one passage in which we can look at this theme. Seems to me that Paul says it will mean two things to us. If we apply the Christian faith on a very practical basis, it will mean two things to our local church. One, it will mean that we are a fellowship of love. And I think that's Paul's burden in verses 9 and 10. And he's going to give us four insights regarding biblical love in verses 9 and 10. And then it will mean beyond that that we, our local church, will not only be a fellowship of love, but also will be a fellowship of learning. We will be a fellowship of love, and we will be a fellowship of learning. And we'll be learning some very practical things that will make us strong and useful for the Lord. I want to share those thoughts with you for just the next few moments. First of all, Paul says we'll be a fellowship of love in verses 9 and 10. Can I read those verses to you again? He says, let love be without, let love, you notice, be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. I think Paul is saying in one sense that biblical love, and we always want to attach that adjective, biblical love, is the circulatory system, so to speak, of the spiritual body. It's that which enables all of the members of the body to function in a healthy and a harmonious way. And if you look very carefully, I don't know what you see in verses 9 and 10 with respect to the issue of biblical love, but if you look very carefully in Romans 12, verses 9 and 10, it seems to me that there are four things that Paul says to us in this context about our responsibility to apply biblical love in our daily living, applied Christianity. What would those four things be? I think Paul says, number one, love sincerely. Let love be without dissimulation. Then he says, I want you to love purely. Abhor what is evil. Be pure. Abhor what is evil, cleave to what is good. Then he says, I want you to love warmly. Be kindly affectioned, he says. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. I want you to love warmly. And then finally he says, I want you to love humbly, in honor, preferring one another. Now those would be the four marks of the biblical love that Paul would want to characterize our fellowship. And he's saying, in effect, if we apply the principles of God's word on a practical basis, this is precisely what will begin to happen to us in our local church. We'll be a fellowship of love. And first of all, he says, I want you to love sincerely. Let love be without dissimulation. You know, that word for love is that word that occurs so many times in the New Testament documents, agape. But I just want to remind you that agape is the word that describes at least two things. The word for love here, let love, let agape be without dissimulation. Agape is the word that describes at least two things. One, it describes absolute loyalty and fidelity to its object. If we're going to love God, we're going to have absolute loyalty to God, absolute fidelity to God. Nothing will intersect our relationship with God. We will be totally committed, loyally committed to God in all areas of our life. And then secondly, it means not only absolute loyalty and fidelity to its object, but it also means total sacrificial selflessness. Those are powerful terms. Those are probing concepts. We begin to apply them practically in our Christian life. Absolute loyalty and fidelity to its object and total sacrificial selflessness. Those things are not native to our nature. Those things are antithetical to our nature. And it's only the mighty work of God in converting us and then inhabiting us and energizing us by His Spirit and by His Word that enables us to exude that kind of love. And Paul is quick to warn us of a grave danger in this connection. And the warning is simply that we're not to feign this love. He says, let love be without dissimulation. And that's the old English for without hypocrisy. Anupokrites, or anupokritos is the Greek word. And when he says that we're not to feign this love, he says, let love be without dissimulation. It means without hypocrisy. You know what that means on a practical basis? It means that the Christian love is always to be cleansed of self. The Christian love is always to be cleansed of self. To the degree that there is an element of selfishness in our lives, to that degree we are exuding a hypocritical love. Hypocritical love has self at its center. Genuine love has God and others at its center. You know, Paul only uses this word without dissimulation, or unhypocritical is really what the word means. Paul only uses this word unhypocritical, anupokritos, six times in the New Testament. And three times he uses it to qualify the noun love. I wonder why that is. I think it is because it is easier to feign or to fake this love, to put on a front, to talk about it and pretend that we have it. It's easier to feign and fake it than it is to develop it and produce it in our lives. And Paul knew that we would be tempted to do just that. And so he says, make sure that you have unhypocritical love, cleansed of self and ulterior motives and untouched and untainted by play acting. Let it be a genuine thing. So he says, I want you to love sincerely. Then he says, I want you to love also purely. Do you notice? Unhypocritical love, sincere love, will also be a pure love. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Native to the Christian love and native to the Christian life is an abhorrence and an adherence. where to abhor something and where to adhere to something. I believe it was Paul's belief that the most compelling and driving factor or force in Christian purity was biblical love. I believe Paul was convinced that if we really love God and we really love His Word, we'll be the purest of all people. And we will abhor that which is evil, and we will cleave to that which is good. Any man who truly loves God will do that kind of a thing. You know, it's an interesting mixture of metaphors that Paul has here. It's a very interesting mixture of metaphors. Paul says, I want you to have the kind of love that hates. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? I want you to have the kind of love that hates the right things. Sincere love abhors, and that Greek word, apostugos, the root, means to hate intensively. It's got that prepositional prefix attached to it. It's an interesting mixture of metaphors. We're to have the kind of love that hates. You know, Billy Sunday used to say, you can't love flowers without hating weeds. And that's exactly true. And Paul is telling us in this passage that true biblical love has a godly contempt for what is displeasing to the Lord, and it tenaciously clings to that which is pleasing to the Lord, to that which is good. And that word clings, by the way, means to be glued to. It's kalao is the word. It comes from a noun, kala, which means glue. We are to abhor, we are to hate, we are to be separate from the godless and the ugly things, the things that are displeasing to God, and we are to be utterly glued to those things which are good or which are consistent with the nature of God. In other words, true love is always a separatist love. Love never discourages us from being separatists or biblicists. True biblical love always encourages us to be separated Christians. It knows what it should avoid and it knows what it should embrace. It adheres to what is good and it abhors what is evil. True biblical love always manifests itself in proper relationships and attitudes to good and to evil. So Paul says, I want you to love sincerely, without dissimulation, without hypocrisy, cleansed of self, no ulterior motives, all of the rest, no play acting. I want you to love sincerely. I want you to love purely. Abhor that which is evil. Adhere to that which is good. You could translate that. And then I want you to love warmly. It's not just to be a stoic love, not just an academic thing. He says, I want you to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Those are very warm terms. And it describes the responsibility that I have to you and that you have to me and that we have to one another across the spectrum of this local church. And this will be a practical application of the deep theology that Paul has unfolded in Romans chapters 1 to 11. The practical application of the deep theology that he has unfolded in that passage. So he says he wants us to love warmly, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. I think Paul's words there are the words in the Greek language which express friendship and family, affection and love. They're words that perhaps you'll recognize. Philadelphia, brotherly love. Philostorgos is the word for family love and a very warm love. They're words which teach us that Christian people should love each other with the same sincerity and tenderness as if they were the nearest relatives. And you know, that's exactly what we are. We're the nearest relatives. We've been born into the same family.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.